Dave Dempsey is a widely respected Michigan environmentalist and writer. His attorney brother, Jack, is also a writer. Together, their love for Michigan and the written word are united in Ink Trails, Michigan's Famous and Forgotten Authors. The book has been chosen as a Michigan Notable Book for 2013. Jack and Dave Dempsey will visit the Schuler Bookstore in Okemos tomorrow at 2 p.m. to talk about Ink Trails. That's Saturday at 2 p.m. to talk about their book, and they join us today to talk more about Michigan's rich literary history. Jack and Dave, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Almost everybody's familiar with some of the writers included in this book. Jack Dempsey, who would you say are the most recognizable, successful writers from Michigan?
I would submit that Bruce Catton, the preeminent Civil War historian, is well known, mm-hmm. at least in that genre. Also Carl Sandburg, who wrote both history, poetry. There's a national site for people to visit where he wrote down in North Carolina. So those are two very famous writers, I would submit.
Dave Dempsey?
Well, I would agree with that. My mind turns first to those that are less notable, and those are the ones that we were hoping the book would introduce to new audiences. So
we're going to get to that.
I'm not really answering your question. I'm going ahead to your next question. But Marita Wolf is a writer that I found very fascinating, somebody no one today knows about and is, I think, worth knowing about. At one point, a children's writer named Marguerite D'Angeli may have been a very well-known Michigan author, but perhaps not so today. But she's worth remembering, too.
We'll get a little bit more into the lesser-known Michigan writers here in a minute. First of all, what qualified a writer as a Michigan writer, Jack Dempsey? Born here, lived here, what?
Both, or either. You were born here or you lived here. You spent some time in Michigan at some point in your life, but you drew inspiration from some aspect of Michigan, its natural beauty, its people, the situation you found yourself in, any of those connections. And as Dave said, some of these were very famous in their day, like Will Carleton. There used to be a state holiday after him, dedicated to him. Now no one knows who he is, but he was born in Michigan, became famous nationally, and now is obscure.
Dave Dempsey, did all of these Michigan writers write about Michigan or not?
I wouldn't say they do. They did. To me, what qualified them, and I think perhaps to Jack as well, is that Michigan needed to play some kind of an influence in their writing directly or indirectly. There were writers who I think in the book who may not have mentioned Michigan much, but they used Michigan as their writing den, so to speak, and they drew sustenance from either the people or the landscape of the state. So a couple of the writers that I looked at were clearly motivated by just their love of Michigan's beauty, and I think that kind of thing is true of many of the writers.
I think it's safe to say you've really got to be into Michigan and Michigan writers to be aware of all of the names in your book. Jack, why don't you run through a couple of the lesser-known writers for us as far as you're concerned and why you included them?
One is Carol Watson Rankin. She was a basically housewife up in Marquette, decided that she wanted to be a writer when she was young, but in that society, it was almost impossible to become a writer in that era, in that location. But she wrote under a pseudonym, published a number of books basically for young women, and the most famous, Dandelion Cottage, still in print today, a fascinating book, and oddly, one that a friend of mine happened to treasure as a family memento down in southeast Michigan. So here's a writer from Marquette who probably no one south of the bridge knows about, and yet here's a close friend of mine who cherished this book, and since it's still available, others can cherish it as well and pass it down. It's a wonderful book about some young women and their escapades up in Marquette.
And Dave Dempsey, tell us a little bit more about Marita Wolf. This is somebody you obviously feel pretty strongly about.
Yeah, I really do. I'd never heard of her myself, even though I pride myself on having been a reader for most of my life and enjoying books, and somebody just mentioned her name to me, and I Googled her and then read all seven of her novels, and I found her just fascinating. She grew up in the Grass Lake area down by Jackson and wrote some what I would call really almost noirish books about the people and culture of small-town Michigan back in the 1930s and 40s. One of the really interesting vignettes to me about her is that she stopped writing novels after about 1972. Her last novel was rejected by a publisher, but she thought it was good enough to put in a refrigerator in a box and keep there until after her death. She was afraid if, you know, there was a house fire, the manuscript would burn up. So the manuscript was actually retrieved after her death and published and reviewed favorably back in 2005 in the New York Times. So she was quite a character.
And Jack Dempsey, tell us more about Will Carleton. You touched on him just a minute ago. We got to hear this story. How was it Will Carleton had, did you say a state holiday? Had a state holiday in his honor, and he is almost completely forgotten now. How did that happen?
He was up there in the pantheon of Lincoln and Washington and Thanksgiving Day, school days that kids got off. He was just such a well-known poet back in the day and had such an impact nationally. His first piece, Betsy and I Are Out, is a rather interesting poem that has to do with the breakup of a couple, married couple, and it became a sensation, led the way for him to write more poems, and he published quite a number of books. And there is a village in Michigan called Carleton. There is a Will Carleton Road. In fact, if you're going down I-275 in southeast Michigan, you have to cross under it. But as many people are wont to do, they see something, they don't really pay attention to it. I put myself in that category. And so Carleton Road, one day I thought, well, who is Will Carleton? And so we began to investigate it, and Dave and I found this individual to be a fascinating writer and poet.
When did he live? And you are you saying he was from southeast Michigan?
Yes, he was born in Hudson, Michigan, and he lived from 1845 to 1912.
And how did this happen? How was it he became so utterly anonymous over time?
I think, in a way, his poetry is unique to its time. It's a certain style of poetry that probably today we aren't as enamored with. But it's just one of the phenomena of Michigan that something becomes very pronounced and famous, and over time we tend to forget about it. We do not cherish our history as much as we should.
We're talking with Jack and Dave Dempsey, the authors of Ink Trails, Michigan's famous and forgotten authors. Jack, you had a reading that you wanted to share with us here. Is this Will Carleton by any chance?
No, this is someone else named Eugene Ruggles, born in Pontiac, lived in Elk Rapids, went to Wayne State, Northern Michigan University, ended up on the West Coast, and again, another individual who's not really well-known, but whose poetry, as one individual, one friend said, should pass on into the American canon.
Eugene Ruggles, he lived when? In 19th century, we're talking?
No, in the 20th century.
Oh.
Born in 35, and he died in 2004.
Oh, my.
And I should go back, as Dave was talking about qualifications, you do have to be deceased to be in our book.
Okay. All right.
We don't want to run into any litigation involved in it. So.
Okay. But this is Eugene Ruggles.
Ruggles returned again and again to scenes of urban Detroit and Flint, where workers paid the penalty for a floundering economy and the poor judgment of management. He had toiled in Detroit factories in his youth and identified viscerally with the suffering of former assembly line workers turned out of their jobs. Ruggles' poems sometimes spoke of matters distant from Michigan, but remained rooted in an outlook shaped by his childhood in the Wolverine State. Unflinching in their portrayal of family tragedy, passionate political action, and social decay, Ruggles' poems have their source in a fundamentally American character shaped by the alternately gentle and brutal hands of Michigan.
Hmm. Dave Dempsey, who would you say is the most unfairly overlooked writer you profile in the book?
Wow, that's a tough question. You know, I grew up loving Bruce Cadden, and he is, I think, fairly well remembered today, but primarily because of his Civil War writings. and this, of course, is the sesquicentennial of the Civil War. But to me, his best book is the one that's forgotten, and that's Waiting for the Morning Train. It's a story about growing up in Michigan in the early 20th century. I just think it's a gem. It's really a magnificent masterpiece. That's the kind of book we should have kids in Michigan schools all read.
Waiting for the Morning Train by Bruce Catton.
Correct.
Okay. Dave Dempsey, Jack, what about you?
Well, I think Liberty Hyde Bailey is someone else that we ought to pay attention to, someone who's associated with Michigan State University, as both Dave
very,
and I
very closely,
are.
Yes.
And there's a Bailey Scholars Program, and there's a small museum in South Haven where you can go visit his family home when he was being raised. And to think that this individual basically launched the entire horticulture, landscape architecture program in American colleges at Cornell in New York State. He became very pronounced with his studies, with his teaching. And his writings are also very interesting because he talks about the natural world and how we need to nurture it and care for it, something that we've rediscovered since, I guess, 1970.
Is Bailey Street in East Lansing, or the Bailey neighborhood, is that named? Do we know if that's named after Liberty Hyde Bailey? I want to say yes.
Of course.
But we all want to say yes since I've raised the question. But I think I have heard that in the past. I don't think it would surprise anybody.
Well, there's a statue here on the state campus, so you can go see it over there at the Hort Garden.
Okay. You did not include Ernest Hemingway. Why not?
I'll let Dave speak to that.
Well, two reasons. One is so much has been said about Ernest Hemingway that I wasn't sure that we could add, at this point, anything original and complimentary. And secondly, the secondary purpose of the book really was to try to commemorate and celebrate as many forgotten writers as we could. Part of the, I think, purpose of this whole book, which was a labor of love for Jack and me, is just to refresh and inspire Michigan readers to pick up books otherwise might not have. And I think plenty of people pick up Hemingway, but not too many pick up Liberty Hyde Bailey.
And we've got about 30 seconds here. What does it mean for the book to be named a Michigan Notable Book for 2013?
Well, I would say it's extremely gratifying, humbling, and just a recognition on the part of those who review this is well worthy of people reading.
Dave Dempsey and his brother Jack are the authors of Ink Trails, Michigan's famous and forgotten authors, and they will be speaking at the Schuler Bookstore in Okemos tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock to talk about Ink Trails. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, very much.